You know, I was thinking about the Christmas story all week, and it's such a and I'm going to talk about it in just a minute what it means to us from a spiritual standpoint. But just the story itself is such a sweet, sweet story. Brother Leonard talked about it in Sunday school, and we talked a little bit about it Wednesday night. But when you think of the love that Joseph and Mary had for one another, and what Joseph did, I mentioned it on Wednesday night. When Joseph took Mary to be his wife, what he was saying to all the nosy neighbors that were about that didn't understand what was going on is, what they thought was, he was involved in the sin with Mary as well. I mean, the neighbors didn't understand what was going on. And when Joseph went ahead and did exactly what the angel and what God told him to do and took Mary to be his wife, to all the gossips in the town, what he was opening himself up for, and they were talking over the back fence. Yep, he was in on it too. They weren't supposed to come together. I mean, that was, Brother Leonard covered it in the Sunday school lesson this morning. They had a year where they were espoused to each other, just like being married, but they could not come together as husband and wife. And when Joseph did what God said, all the skeptics and all the gossip said, yeah, he was in on it too. And he took Mary's sin, according to the skeptics and to the gossips, on himself. And I said Wednesday night, what a beautiful picture of what Jesus was going to do when he took all of our sins upon himself. And so a sweet, sweet story of a young man and a young lady. It's a spectacular story when you stop and think about the angels appearing to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I mean, spectacular. Then you think about the star and the wise man. But the thing that I like about the Christmas story is that it's a simple story. A simple story. Brother Leonard talked about it again in Sunday school, that it was a miraculous birth. But God made it so simple that that most of us, and maybe the young children, can't understand it quite yet. But when you talk about the virgin birth, God made it simple so that we could understand it. I mentioned Wednesday night that I think salvation is a three-legged stool. That you got to have three things to have salvation. Of course, you got to have the death on the cross of our Savior. You got to have the resurrection. Because if he had stayed in the grave, I would have no gospel to preach this morning. So you got to have the death. You got to have the resurrection. I think the third leg of that stool is the virgin birth. You got to have the virgin birth. You can't take it away from the Bible. You can't take it away and still have salvation. And so, as I was thinking about the simplicity of the Christmas story, and I heard a Christmas sermon, a Tuesday afternoon, and it reminded me of a sermon that I preached, and I went back and looked it up 11 years ago around Christmas. And I took my notes out and I changed some things around. And I'm going to preach that sermon again this morning. You saw the title in the bulletin, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Because in that little nursery rhyme, and I know most of you know that nursery rhyme, but if you think about it, you can think about the Christmas story and what God did for us and what God does for us today in just the verse, that first verse of that little nursery rhyme. Mary had a little lamb. We're going to talk about that lamb this morning. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Its fleece was white as snow. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And everywhere that Mary went, the Lamb was sure to go. The Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have the blessed hope that every place that you go, Jesus is with you. Not a place that you go, not a situation that you face, not a trial that you have to endure, without Jesus being there with you. And so this morning, I want you to listen. I want to talk about Mary's little lamb. Father, thank you for this time we have together. I pray you'll make it profitable to us. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, today would be the day that they decide to receive him. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In Genesis chapter 22, God does something that we would not associate with God. I mean, he asked a man to do something that if you were going to describe God, you would not put this in the description of God. He comes to a man named Abraham and he says, "Abraham, I want you to do something. I'm going to give you an instruction, and I want you to carry out what I'm going to ask you to do." Now, before I tell you what that was, and once I start to talk about it, you'll know exactly what it was. I want you to understand what was going on. Abraham and his wife Sarah were old, and they had a son in their old age that they named Isaac. And God made a promise to Abraham. He said, "Through this son Isaac, I'm going to bless the whole world. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send a savior. I am going to bless the world through your son Isaac." And Isaac, again, was the only son that Abraham and Sarah had together. So God came to Abraham when Isaac was a young man, maybe still a little boy. I'm not sure how old he was. I think he was a little bit older. But God came to Abraham and he said, "Abraham, I want you to take your only son, Isaac. I want you to take him to a mountain that's named Moriah, which is about 3 days from where you're located now. I want you to take Isaac up on top of that mountain, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. Just like you would an animal, I want you to take your son, I want you to put him on an altar, I want you to kill him, I want you to light the fire underneath him, and I want him to be a sacrifice to me." Now, Abraham knew exactly what God was talking about. The way that God was worshipped back in those days was animal sacrifices. You would take a lamb, or you would take a ram, or you would take, if you were poor, you would take a bird, and you would take it to the priest, and the priest would kill it and lay it on an altar, or the father of the family would take it and lay it on the altar and kill it and burn it as a sacrifice to God. And God said to Abraham, "That's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to take Isaac, I want you to take him up on this mountain, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me." I've pictured in my mind many, many times what that trip must have been like. A 3-day journey, and I can see him traveling the first day. Nobody knows what's going on except for Abraham. The servants don't. Isaac don't. I think they left Sarah at home, she not knowing what was going on. And they traveled that first day, and they stopped for the night, and they camped for the night. I think everybody was asleep except for Abraham. As far as Isaac knew, he was just going with his dad to offer a sacrifice. He was just doing what they'd done many times before. Maybe not so far away, but he was doing what they'd done before in killing an animal and offering it as a sacrifice to God. And so I think everybody was asleep. Isaac was asleep. The servants were asleep. I don't think Abraham was asleep. I think he lay that night and looked up to the sky and saw the stars in the sky. And he said, "God, I just don't understand. You promised me that my descendants would outnumber the stars. You promised me that Isaac is this child of promise. And I just don't understand, God, if I take the life of Isaac, how you're going to keep that promise." They got up the next morning, traveled the second day, and made their way toward this mountain that God told them to go to. And by the way, I love Abraham's faith in this story. I mean, I think it paints a picture for us. Even when we do not understand what God is trying to accomplish in our life, how much better it would be if we would just say, "I'm going to do what God says." God didn't explain it to Abraham. He didn't tell him the end of the story. He didn't tell him what was going to happen to Isaac. As far as Abraham knew, as he made his way toward Mount Moriah, he was going to come home without a son. He was going to come home having left his son on top of that mountain as a sacrifice to God, burned up to God. And even though he didn't understand it, you don't find Abraham arguing with God. You don't find Abraham delaying. I think when God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son and I want you to offer him, he got up immediately. He left for that trip. And even though he didn't understand it, he was obedient to God. And I want to tell you something, folks. There's going to be times in your life, and there's been times in my life, and there will be more times in your life and more times in my life where we will not be able to explain God. We will not be able to understand what He's trying to accomplish in our life. We will not be able to rationalize it and to say, I see exactly what God is doing. There's going to be times like that, and those are the times we just need to be obedient to our God. Those are the times we just need to keep on doing what He's told us to do. Abraham and his party stopped that second night. Again, I think everybody slept, the servants and Isaac. I think as Abraham laid in the desert that night, that maybe his hand went down to his side and he took up a handful of desert sand. And he said, God, I don't understand. You promised me my descendants were going to be more than the sands of the earth. I just don't understand if I kill Isaac, how that's going to happen. They came to Mount Moriah. He left the servants a ways off. He put the wood on Isaac's back. He took the fire. Father and son climbed the mountain. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 7, Isaac says to his dad, he says, Father, I know we're coming to the place we're going to build the altar. I see the fire. I see the wood. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? And the Bible says that Abraham said this. He said, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Now, I'll point out to you, Abraham didn't know what was going to happen yet. He didn't know if Isaac was going to be spared or not. As far as he was concerned, at this point in time, Isaac was still going to lay on that altar and be burned as a sacrifice to God. But what Abraham was doing was looking through that altar, and he was looking through the ages of time, and he was prophesying back there on Mount Moriah, I think the very mount where Jesus was crucified hundreds of years later. He was prophesying, and he said, God is going to provide Himself a sacrifice. Over in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said this. He was talking to the Jews. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. You know when he saw it? He saw it when he was up there on that mountain, ready to kill his son and offer his son as a sacrifice to God. He looked through the ages of time and saw God Himself providing a sacrifice for our sins. I want you to fast forward in your Bibles a book. I want you to go to the book of Exodus. God came to Moses and said, Moses, I've got a message that I want you to give to my people. I want you to get it right because it's got to be right. I want you to take a message to my people. God's people were slaves in Egypt. They were making Pharaoh's treasure cities, working in the brick factories as slaves. And God came to Moses and said, Moses, I'm going to deliver my people. But I've got some instructions for them, and I want you to give them these instructions. I want you to, when I give them to you, I want you to get everybody together, and I want you to give them these instructions. And here they are. Moses, on the 14th day of the first month, the death angel is going to visit Egypt. And that angel is going to pass through the land on the 14th day of that first month, and he's going to take the life of the firstborn in every single household. And unless you do, unless my people do exactly what I'm going to tell you to do, then they're going to lose their firstborn. And I imagine, I don't know if they had post-it notes back then, but I think Moses took something out and says, I'm going to get this straight. I'm going to write this down because I want to make sure I get it right. Said, and God said, this is it. Here's what I want you to do. On the 10th day of the first month, I want every household to select a lamb. Every household to choose a lamb. It's got to be a certain kind of lamb. It's got to be male. It's got to be without blemish. And I don't know how Moses did. I know sometimes I've seen, I never did this, but I won't name any names, but I've seen people that, you know, when they were going to take a test, they'd take their ink pen in and they'd write down clues on their hand. And, you know, and I don't know what Moses did, but I think Moses did something to remember what God told him. On the 10th day, choose a lamb, every household a lamb, a male without blemish. Set that lamb aside. And on the 14th day, I want you to take that lamb and I want you to kill it. And I want you to take the blood of that lamb and I want you to go to the door of your house. And I want you to take that blood and I want you to put it on the two side posts of the door. And I want you to put it on the top of the door. Because when the death angel comes through the land, he's going to look for the blood on the door. And if he sees the blood on the two sides of the door and over the door, he's going to pass over that house. He won't come and visit that house. And the firstborn in that house will be spared. But every house without blood on the door, he's going to come in and the firstborn in that household is going to lose their life. Now, Moses had to get it right. You see, it was a life and death situation. He had to get it right. And he had to tell the people. I mean, I think, I don't know, but sometimes I think about it, it might have just been easier and more convenient to for Moses to say, hey, I don't like this message that God's given me. I don't like the fact that people may die if they don't do exactly what God tells them to do. I think I'll just remind them how much God loves them and how much God is going to deliver them. And I'm glad that God put a man like Moses in the Bible for our example. Doesn't matter how uncomfortable the message was. Doesn't matter that it was a message of judgment. It was a message from God. And I'm glad that God had a man like Moses that was faithful to deliver the message, regardless of whether the people wanted to hear it or not. He stood up and he proclaimed, the only way that the firstborn in your house can be spared and saved is to put blood on the door. A lot of churches today called off church. A lot of preachers today don't want to preach about hell. I have a responsibility, just like Moses had a responsibility, to stand before you and proclaim that the only way that you can be saved is to take the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It may not be a message that the world wants to hear. And I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot easier to preach about the love of God and to remind people of how much God loves us. But if the only thing that a preacher preaches is the love of God, he hasn't done the job that God called him to do. Keep the lamb till the 14th day. On the 14th day, take the lamb and kill it. Put the blood in a basin and take that blood out and put it on the door. Christmas Evans, he was a Welsh preacher born on Christmas Day and his parents decided to name him Christmas, a great evangelist. He lay on his bed dying at the end of his life and there was a group of young preachers that gathered around his bed and they said, Pastor Evans, do you have any advice for us young preachers? Do you have any advice before you go to heaven? And the story goes that he raised himself up on one of his elbows and with a loud, clear voice said, Preach the blood in the basin. Preach the blood. Preach the blood. Moses said, okay, God, I think I got it. 10th day of the first month, every household is to take a lamb. They're to put it aside until the 14th. And on the 14th day, they're to kill it. They're to put the blood in a basin and take that blood to the door and put it on the door. And that blood on the door will cause the death angel to pass over. You see, back in that day, it didn't matter what kind of parents you had. If you didn't have blood on the door, you were going to lose your life if you were the firstborn. Didn't matter if they were religious or not. Didn't matter if the whole household went to the synagogue or to the temple or to the place that Moses had built for them to come together and worship. It didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was the blood on the door. There may have been people that said, well, I think I'm going to do a little different. I'll wait till the 11th to take the lamb. I'll kill it on the 13th and I'll make sure I get my blood on the door by the 13th. There's a lot of people that want to change the way that God said that we need to get saved. And I want to tell you this morning, just like the Israelites in the land of Egypt that Passover night, the same is true for us today. Unless we do it God's way, unless we do it God's way, unless we do it God's way, it ain't going to work.
Amen.
It ain't going to work. I mentioned in Sunday school, Dave talked to me about it, and I know some of you saw it, that special that was on the TV this week about heaven, how to get to heaven. A lot of different opinions on how to get to heaven, but I tell you what, all the opinions are going to end up with people in hell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And you won't get to heaven by some scheme that man has devised. You won't get to heaven by something that you put together in your own mind. You will get to heaven only by the plan that God spelled out in this book. The death and the resurrection. And your belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The death angel came, and every house that had the blood on the doorpost, he passed over. And every door that didn't have the blood on the doorpost, he went in, and the firstborn of that house was killed. Now I want to go back to Genesis. I'm almost done, so stay with me. I want to go back to the book of Genesis. Isaac is tied on the altar. I think Abraham has his knife up like this, ready to put it into Isaac's heart. A voice from heaven says, Abraham, stop. I've seen that you wouldn't even withhold your own son from me. I don't want you to kill him. Look over there. There's a ram caught in the thicket. I want you to untie Isaac, and I want you to take that ram, and I want you to offer that ram in Isaac's place. You and I are sinners. There's a penalty for our sin, and that penalty is death. 2,000 years ago, God said the same thing to us that he said to Abraham. He said, I don't want you to have to pay for your own sins. They got to be paid for because I'm a God of justice. But I don't want you to die to pay for your own sins. So I'm going to send my son, and he's going to die in your place to pay for your sins. He's going to be your sacrificial lamb. He's going to be the ram that dies in your place. He's going to be the Passover lamb that will be killed and the blood will be applied to save you. That's what the Christmas story is all about. Mary had a little lamb. Not Mary and Joseph, as we talked about in Sunday school, but Mary had a little lamb. It had to be only Mary because the blood comes from the Father And if Jesus would have had an earthly dad, he would have had sin-tainted blood. He would have had that Adamic nature that we all got when Adam fell into sin. But it wasn't Joseph and Mary. It was Mary. She had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. The Passover lamb had to be perfect without spot or blemish. Same is true of our Savior. In John chapter 1, the forerunner Christ comes, one that would introduce Jesus to the world. His name was John the Baptist. He talked about Jesus. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He says, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. What would John the Baptist say about Jesus? He could say, behold, the King of Kings. Sinners don't need a king. They need a Savior. He could have said, the Lord of Lords. Sinners don't need a Lord. They need a Savior. He could have said, behold, the ruler of Israel. Sinners don't need a ruler. They need a Savior. And so as John the Baptist introduced Jesus, he said this, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, your Passover lamb, your ram caught in the thicket, the one that would die in your place on Calvary's cross. In Acts chapter 8, Philip came across the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading from Isaiah about the Lamb of God. And the Bible says, Philip preached unto him Jesus. And so, just as simply as I know how to say it this morning, Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. No sin. No wicked thought. No unkind word. A perfect lamb. And Jesus sent that lamb to Calvary's cross to die for my sins and to die for your sins. Let me ask you this Christmas morning, have you come to the Lamb? Have you? The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you come to the Lamb this morning? I'll tell you again, there's no other way to get to heaven except by coming to him. It's not being a part of a church. It's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's not good works. It's him. He paid the whole price. All we have to do is receive it. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better day than Christmas Day to make that choice. You're a sinner. There's a penalty that you will pay for that sin. Unless you let Jesus pay it for you, which he's already done, you'll have to pay it yourself. But this morning, if you'll just simply say, Jesus, I believe what the preacher said about you this morning. I believe you died in my place to pay my penalty. And this morning I'm taking it. I'm receiving it as the gift that you meant it to be. Save me. And he will. He will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the blessed, blessed story of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And I pray if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today would be the day that they would come. Today would be the day that they would make that decision to receive Jesus. Man, woman, boy, girl, maybe it's they've been here a lot of different times. Maybe this is the first time they've been here. Maybe this is the first time they've heard a story. I pray, Father, that they would not walk out of this place without acting on what they've heard. I pray every single person that's here that has never received Christ would today make that decision to take the Lamb. To take the Lamb. Father, I pray for us as Christians. Help us to remember that last part, that wherever we go, you're with us. Whatever the hardship, whatever the trial, whatever the heartbreak, that you're right there beside us. Every place, every situation, you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. Help those that need to make a decision to Christ, for Christ, to make it right now. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.